Welcome, Buckeye fans, to another edition of the 360 with Ohio State Athletics podcast. It is presented by Kroger. I'm Timmy Hall, in for our friend Matt Andrews once again. This is the podcast where our goal is to talk to every single head coach in Ohio State Athletics, all 36 sports. So today, we're proud to talk to another really successful head coach who's coming off a season where they finished ranked top 15 in America. His players are as successful in the classroom as they are on the playing field. I'm talking about Jared Martin, Ohio State's field hockey coach. He just completed his eighth season at the helm. He's got 84 wins already, many more to come. He's got playing and coaching experience at the collegiate and national levels. And like a lot of our coaches, he was nice enough to invite us out to his office. I like getting out of my digs and taking a little field trip. They're over at the Shoemaker Complex, which is really, really nice. And for football fans, know that it's connected to the Woody Hayes. So we thank Jared for having us out, and we dive into his journey through the sport of field hockey. Enjoy the conversation.
Yeah, thanks for coming. I mean, we're pretty lucky. Not only is it's, you know, like our home away from home, that's kind of the way we describe it, but at least for the field hockey team,
yeah,
everything we need is in this building. You know, so for the student athletes, our locker room, weight room, athletic training room, the dining hall for the student athlete, I mean, everything. It's all in one-stop shop. So it makes it as convenient as we possibly can make it for them, which I think is really helpful because their days are busy.
So, Jared, at the beginning of every one of these podcasts, I like to go back to the beginning and talking about the beginning of the sport for you. So, correct me if I'm wrong, you were born and raised in New York, correct?
Yeah,
upstate New York. Yep. So I know field hockey is one of the hotbeds in America for where it's played and where it's popular. But
yeah.
How did it begin? How did you get involved with the sport?
Yeah, it was, I mean, family. It was a sport. Yeah. We played a bunch of sports growing up. My dad was a football player, so I was always around. Basketball was in our house. My mom played field hockey in college and then was a field hockey coach. So when I was born, she was doing, you know, fall practices. Would be my dad off somewhere, my mom off somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just around that environment. And then I have an older sister. She played field hockey. She was an All-American at UNC and then played on the women's national team. So
go Heels.
I also coached at Duke, so that's
I,
it.
I know,
so,
I know. We'll get to that.
So that was a tough conversation with the family, but it was something that was around. You know, I think when you hear about things where, you know, I'd feel hockey sticks in my hand when I was 2 or 3 years old, not even knowing what it was. You know, I'd be around practice environments, being around sport. I think that was something that was just a part of our life. And then as we grew up, I mean, my parents put us in every type of rec sport you could imagine. You know, I think mainly to get us tired so we fall asleep and not cause trouble at the house. But, you know, for me to be around hockey or field hockey in this case, mm-hmm. I mean, it was inevitable.
So how was the popularity of the sport in your town, if you could describe it? I mean, because you said you played all different sports. It's still one of these niche sports. So it still piques my curiosity as to how you take the plunge to where you're going to follow it for your career.
Yeah, I mean, that was until later. I mean, growing up, I never thought too seriously about it. It was something I enjoyed.
Yeah.
You know, I liked it. It's fast-paced. I also was a big basketball player, so I think it offset maybe some of the basketball styles where there's, you know, like set out-of-bounds plays or set offenses or, you know, press breaks. Field hockey, there is some tactics for sure, and there's a lot of things that you have to be thoughtful of, but a lot of it is in the moment, reading the game, kind of keeping a spontaneous, you know, coaching thought going through. Because if you think about it for too long, the game's passing you by. So mm-hmm. I think I like that it kept it fresh. So I would say serious field hockey for me was probably like junior high. You know, I think that was something where I took, you know, a little bit more time with it. You know, I'd go out and, like, hit around the yard with my sister a little bit more.
Right.
I just started finding a different level of a casual fun to, like, I would compete more, I think, with
it. Was it school field hockey at that level for you?
No,
not yet.
Nothing.
Not until high school level.
Yeah. And then what we, there was always some big recruiting tournaments over the over kind of different phases of the year. One's always over Thanksgiving, and this one I can vividly remember it was out in California, and they actually had like a boys like U18 division. And so my dad was like, "Jared, you should just like sign up and and go for it. You know, like, what are you going to do? You're just sitting around watching Abby play. My sister.
Wow, that's great.
So I signed up for it.
They put the bill for you, too, to head out to California?
Well, my parents were going out because my sister was playing in this showcase.
Already going
out. So we were already there. You know, it was a family trip. And then they're like, oh, just, you know, sign up for it. You know, play a game a day. And it was fun. I got to meet, you know, a bunch of guys from all over the country, but a lot of them were from Southern California.
That's cool.
So that's actually Pat Cota, the assistant coach here. I think we probably met during that tournament because he was probably on it, and he's from California.
Wow.
And then but during that tournament, they had a lot of the coaches that were on the junior national team and senior national team for the men's side. So leaving that tournament, you know, I got a phone call, you know, hey, listen, you know, we'd like to bring you out for a training camp in December, see if you'd want to try out for, you know, junior national teams, different pipelines along the way. And so that December, I went out to California, tried out for the U21 team, made it, kind of built up from there. And then my senior year in high school, I made the national team. So that really started changing, you know, the schools I was going to for undergrad, you know, what major I wanted to do. Because I was, anytime I had free time, I was flying back and forth from New York to California for national team training.
Right. Yeah. So I'm curious, is Southern California then the home? Like, where's the national headquarters?
Yeah, in San Diego.
Is it based out there?
Yep, yeah, in San Diego and in L.A., those two. So, I mean, probably half the team at the time when I was on it was from Southern California. They had a real big push after the L.A. Olympics when the, you know, the men's team was in it. You know, and a lot of those alums stayed in the area, and they really kind of grew hockey. A lot of different clubs, you know, probably similar like AYSO and soccer, like what you mm-hmm. think about. Mm-hmm. They really started that up in California, and it worked its way to other major cities. San Francisco has a pretty good league, DC, New York, Atlanta, you know, but I'm 2 hours north in New York, so it's not like we had accessibility,
yeah,
you know, right outside.
So
for me to do, I mean, I had to be a little bit more creative with my ability to get, you know, games or competition.
Sure.
So, you know, and again, thanks to my parents. I mean, they were thoughtful. You know, they'd go to New York City. You know, maybe my mom would go to a show, and I'd go play field hockey for a weekend.
That's
with
great.
All these,
I'll
you
be
know,
on Broadway.
Yeah,
drop
yeah,
you
right,
off.
Right. And she would go and
watch Cats.
Yeah, right.
You go do this.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, you're good, right? We're just in a city. Yeah, and this is before cell phones. Like, if something happened, who knows what would have gone on. But, you know, it was
meet me on West 75th at 3 o'clock.
Just get in a taxi cab. They'll tell you where to go. Right.
Right.
With a stranger. Yeah. But she, I mean, my parents were so good with that, to just give me that option to, mm-hmm. you know, I'd go to the city, you know, they'd have a, you know, maybe a league down there with honestly, a lot of them were Europeans that were over working in banking in New York, you know, for Citibank or, you know, one of those. And, you know, but they had the league that, you know, they want to start because they want to keep playing field hockey.
Yeah.
Over in Europe.
I noticed you called it,
it's big.
In the know, do you call it just hockey? When you're playing,
yeah, I would just say hockey.
Yeah,
but but I know for this, you
when
know,
you're
field
in,
hockey.
When you're in circles, and that's what, because it sounds like your childhood, as you are describing it really well, just chock full of the sport and mom and dad. It's almost like clockwork. Every coach that I've talked to and where their influence came from for how they got into their sport, almost to a T, it comes from either mom or dad, and it seems like you just had a huge leg up, and were a bit of a natural too playing it. I mean, to be making a national team when you were still in high school, and you know, just drop into some of these, like, oh, mom and dad say you should sign up and play in this, and you pick up the stick and you're whizzing up and down the field. It seems like something was just sort of born into you or innate with this. You just understood this game.
Yeah,
at
I think
a
being around
from
it
the start.
Younger helped for sure. You know, I think it's something that I loved. You know, again, my sister and I, maybe it was because I just didn't want to do schoolwork. You know, she was like, hey, let's go out and head around. I'd rather do that than stay in and, you know, do my fifth grade math homework or something. You know, so
yeah,
it was something
that
I was, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it was something that I always enjoy, like running around. And then, you know, I think when you watch the sport, I mean, you'll see, you know, I would say, again, mom and dad, my genetics, I guess, like, you know, speed, aggressiveness, you know, personalities that I think favor, you know, a field hockey player, I think I had. So that helped, you know, I think when I was growing up, you know, the skills and learning some of the tactical pieces, you know, that was probably my biggest learning curve. But
yeah,
you know, the athleticism, the transition, there's a lot of transitions, you know, turnovers are happening. So getting up and down the field, you know, my dad used to joke, he'd be like, I'd be like a golden retriever, like anywhere the ball would go, I'm just chasing after it, you know? And I think that's something that I just had, you know, as a part of my kind of like DNA.
I mean, it's a little bit like soccer in the fact that it's nonstop.
Yep.
I mean, you can run I'm sure, like, if you were to put, you know, the data sensors on your athletes, it's just miles and miles and miles that are run in a normal game. So, so we're in high school field hockey, and you've reached a certain level and you're starting to think about school, and how did that process go for you when you're trying to figure out where you're going to go to college, where it ultimately ended up at University of Albany?
Albany. Yeah, yeah. Yep. So that, I mean, that was two things. I mean,
are they the River Dogs?
They're the Great Danes.
The Great Danes.
Great Danes, yep.
I was thinking of another North Atlantic or Metro Atlantic school.
Yeah,
Great Danes. That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a dog that's not used in a lot of nicknames.
Under
I like it.
So they, you know, it was close to home, you know, and, you know, 30 minutes from my house, which made it, I think, easy to stay connected with my family in state, which was nice, you know, from a tuition standpoint. But then also I needed to find, I was a science major. You know, I met with the science department and be like, listen, throughout my 4 years here, you know, I need to make sure that, you know, I'm going to be gone for 2-3 weeks at a time. You know, if I have a World Cup qualifier, if I have a training camp that I need to get to, and, you know, how would that work? You know, and I needed to find a school that was supportive of that. Cause if they weren't, you know, I needed to find, the ones that would support the field hockey life that I wanted, but also, you know, I was serious about my studying. And I think that that matched up well. So I was able to have a, you know, great education, have a great time, you know, going through getting my undergrad degree from there, but also pursue the field hockey career that I wanted to have.
You know. So I want to zip ahead to where we are here, because you're 8 years. I want to catch people up. And 8 years into your career as the head coach here for field hockey at Ohio State, and you've had really wonderful teams. And as we've been looking, you guys have been so close to busting through and making some runs in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And fill us in with how the 2024 season wound down, where it was a tight game against Rutgers, and program's in great shape. You're just looking to take that next little step.
Yeah, I mean, the season overall, and this is good therapy for me, so thank you for asking.
You're
these
welcome.
Questions, because it was
this
a great
gotta, this is where you can do it.
It was a great Safe season space. You know, and I think there's a lot of things, you know, when you have the ability to take a step back and just settle, you know, the emotion and some of like the raw feelings after, because I mean I just felt so bad for our team, you know, at the end of the season. I thought we had a great tournament or a great season, you know, tough ending in the Big Ten tournament, but I truly thought we'd done enough to make an NCAA tournament, to be honest. And
to get that big.
Yeah, and 2 years in a row, we've been like the first team out. So, you know, for our seniors, for our fifth years, it's just heartbreaking, you know. And so I think I definitely sat with that feeling for quite a while, you know, and then constantly just thinking, you know, what can we do for here? What can we do for next year? You know, how can I look forward to just make sure we keep pushing forward? But at the same time, yeah, I mean, we had – you know, coming here, you know, I wanted to build a championship program, you know, and each time there was a marker we hit, you know, we have a new one, you know, and like this year I told our team, I want to be in the top 10, you know, and we were in the top 10 pretty much the entire season. We had never beat Maryland. That was another cycle thing. And that was
Absolutely.
A great win for us.
Yeah. Great program.
Last year we were the first team out and Syracuse was the last team in. So they were on our schedule. So that was a nice victory over Syracuse. And, you know, I mean, there was things that we took from the season that, I just think really showed the growth of where this program is.
Yeah.
And every
yeah.
time I, you know, finish a season, you know, the spring that's coming up, I'm going to ask a little bit more of our team and for them to respond like competitors, for them to respond like an OSU athlete. That's like the best thing I could ask for as a coach, you know, because they're already given a lot and I'm asking a little bit more.
Just a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
want to take this next step.
And they respond, you know, and I think they know it. They're hungry. You know, they're competitors. But it's one thing for me to say it and one thing for me to prepare for that, but at the end of the day, I'm never stepping on the field with an OSU jersey. You know, I'm just there to support. I need to make sure they're prepared for it.
Guys, we are in Jared Martin's office here today. He's the head field hockey coach, and we just talked a little bit about his team this year, and we've been talking about his journey and his life through the sport. So as I circle back, so we left off in college, and you get into your coaching career. And you wind up at Skidmore, which is it's in Saratoga,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's
hometown.
It's in your hometown. So you get that experience and you wind up coaching at Duke, where it just seems like you said Syracuse, Maryland, these ACC schools, seems like the lacrosse powers and the field hockey powers, they're all essentially the same. Like something about the
A lot
East
of overlap.
Coast stick and ball sports.
For sure.
Very, very big. But what can you tell us about the journey from Skidmore to Duke? Everything that you learned, some of the key things that you picked up at those different spots that help you almost every day in your job here at Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was really lucky to start at a place like Skidmore. It's in my hometown. I felt very comfortable. You know, I knew the school. I knew the coach very well. She's
a
family friend of ours. You get a
sandwich anytime you need.
Yeah, right. And but I would say that's where I really found or started thinking of coaching as a profession. I mean, I just fell in love with the idea of, and I was still playing on the national team at the time, but I saw the, the day-to-day practices, the games, the competition, but from the other side of the, the other side of the line, if you will, and how much you can influence people
and
help
people
out. And
you love it because I'm sure they're just paying you millions too.
Yeah, this is just for fun. I mean, I volunteer here. I don't know if you knew that. They got a good gig, right? Yeah, right. So it's it was something I think really catapulted that thought in my head. Because coming out of college, the initial plan honestly was to go to vet school. So I was a science major, applied to vet school. That was the path, and then the national team trajectory really put kind of like a stop on that. Cause I knew once I went to vet school, I had to stop all the national team stuff. And I wasn't ready to do that.
That's a tough decision.
And I give my dad a lot of credit and my mom, cause they were like, listen, play as long as you can. Your body's not going to be able to do it. So if you still have that fire to play and compete at this level, school will always be here. Work will always be here. So that's why, I started leaning more on the national team experience and what can I do around that, Skidmore fit in perfectly, and Beth Hollenbeck, the head coach there, I mean, she's Hall of Famer, Final Fours, I don't know, 400 wins, 300 wins. I mean, just she's an icon, I think, at the school and just done a really great job with that program. And then to go from that to a Duke University where the coach at the time was Beth Bosman, who is legendary. I mean, Hall of Famer, again, Princeton, Duke, oh, gosh, 8, 9 Final Fours.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's just
– everyone looks up to
her. And she was somebody that, one, respected at the time, still playing on the national team. So now I'm coaching Division I. If I had a free weekend, flying to California, flying back. I mean, sometimes I look back. I don't know how I did it.
You're just doing it all.
Yeah, maybe I just didn't know. Ignorance is bliss. But but she really helped give me the guidance of – if you want to be, a serious Division I coach, if you want to take this, to the next level, this is what this professional world looks like. How do you, set up recruiting? How do you talk to players? How do you structure practices? How do you build and push players to be outside their comfort zone, which normally people just don't want to do that. That's not how we're wired. Yeah. And it was a lot of great, I would say, lessons that first, 3-4 years of this is what it looks like to coach at this level, to be an elite coach, to be an elite program, to manage student athlete lives and just, again, help them be at their best.
So I bet when you got to Duke, it was maybe your first taste of a rivalry that was sort of that level big.
Oh, yeah.
When you get involved in the Duke-UNC matchup and then here where we are today, where it's Ohio State, Michigan, no matter what the sport is. But that had to be a pretty neat thing to get involved with.
Yeah, that was one of the elements I probably loved the most. Yeah, I mean, you get into it. I mean, I told you, I have even in our family, my sister, goes to UNC, played there, All-American. And then, I tell her, I'm like, hey, I just took a job at Duke. And she's like,
you won't be seeing me
are you
wearing
kidding
those
me?
Shirts
yeah,
you bought
right?
me anymore.
So, but to be fair, by the end, I think it took her a few years. She's like, listen, I'll cheer for Duke field hockey if you're not playing UNC, and I will never cheer for Duke basketball. She had like some certain parameters.
We probably bumped into each other in that time frame at maybe the Cosmic Cantina Burrito joint.
Oh,
because my wife was working at the hospital for those years.
Oh, yeah,
we lived out there. My son was born out in that area.
I used to live like right by Whole Foods, like right up 9th
there you
Street.
Go. Yeah,
and
Durham is lovely, too. It gets a bad rap, and I don't understand it because it's a lovely little town.
Yeah, which I didn't mind because then people wouldn't overflight. I like that it was easy to get around. So it's like, hey, it's bad. Yeah, don't go there. It was a great place to start, kind of like Division I coaching, and to have. So Beth was my initial mentor, and then 4 years in, so she retires, and then the coach who's there now is Pam Buston, who 96 Olympian, really, really successful program at Louisville, and she built that program up. So she was somebody I tapped into, even coming here of, what did it look like those first 2 years, when you're taking over a new program and trying to work, your way up to a top 10 level, atmosphere, to get her knowledge and to get her background and, just her ways of doing things between the two, between Beth and Pam. I mean, I took so much into my coaching career. They also pushed me at that point. I'd retired from the national team. And then I kind of like shift into coaching. So then I was coaching the U17 national team, the U21 national team, and as a head coach. So that was kind of like my first real taste of running a program at that level. Yeah. So I really leaned on Pam quite a bit with just her knowledge and her expertise. And to that, I mean, I'm forever grateful, but it was nice to have that person like in the office. I mean, I see her, I would see her every day. So it's not like I'm calling her up, hey, can we touch base next week?
Sure,
and
sure.
Just easy access, which was very nice.
Well, Jared, it's an impressive background, and you're not even that old, and you've got a good bit of experience under your belt already here at Ohio State, being in your eighth, going into your ninth year. So it's pretty awesome, the journey and the path that you've had. I want to give you a better chance to brag about your team. I know, like in talking to Mike, you've got some impressive players. I was just reading one of your players had just clocked a 4.0 GPA. And academic, all Big Ten. You got a lot of players on that list too. Oh, yeah. And you've got a great story and a two-way player. You've got an ice hockey. So you say an actual hockey player, right?
Actually, yeah, hockey.
Or you just call it hockey. Yes, for her, for Mackenzie, yeah, it's true. For, hockey, for, yes, all of it. I play
yeah,
it all.
For, yeah, yeah, for Mackenzie. I mean, maybe that's where, maybe growing up, she got confused with hockey, so she just did both, whatever it was. And then, yeah, she, yes. And then she learned there's actually a difference.
I'll just keep playing both.
I think, when I'm recruiting kids, and I think this kind of helps shape kind of the team we have here, you need to find competitors, people that want to be challenged and pushed, and are okay with being uncomfortable, and knowing their support. I mean, I think Ohio State is the best school in the country of supporting their student athletes, just all the different pieces we have around it. So to free that up and know that you're going to be pushed, I want you to be pushed, because you want to be better, but knowing that there's a lot of people around that'll, kind of like safety nets underneath you. I think that is something that I think it's really cool to see an 18-year-old evolve to be a 22-year-old graduate from this university. I mean, it can literally change people's lives. I know that sounds dramatic, but it's true. The other piece I would say is the academic piece. I mean, we have a national team for the U.S. for field hockey. You could go play overseas in pro leagues, but there's not a, NBA and NFL, those type of avenues for most college players here.
Right.
So the academic piece is really important. So our team, I didn't know how many we have, 23, 24, all academic Big Ten. That's for me, that's normal. I know for everybody else, like, wow, that's impressive.
It's about the whole team, right?
Yeah, that's how this should be. The people that you have, the right mentality, they want to do well in the classroom and all different majors. I mean, we have engineering, sciences, business, communications, sports administration, I mean, you name it. I think that, again, shows kind of Ohio State's university, kind of the integrity here. And then, and then the sport athletes themselves, like you said, I mean, Mac is that I could have a whole podcast just with her. I mean, she is just unbelievable with just how she approaches life. She's somebody that, I mean, if you watch a practice, you will notice her 5 minutes in just with her energy and her, I would say like electricity, and I would say that with both sports. I mean, she's a captain in both, so you can kind of see her leadership qualities and how the team respects her. And on the field hockey field, I mean, she's one of the best players in the country. I know we're done with Ohio State. I don't know if Mike told you this. So she finishes Ohio State. A week ago, she was down in Charlotte playing with the U.S. senior field hockey team against a series in Germany.
Oh, wow.
January, she's going down to New Zealand with the national team because the coach really liked her. And, so now she's like, maybe a Paris or maybe LA Olympics is something in her future. And, I'm going to go play Wisconsin early January in ice hockey.
I mean, it's in a top five matchup.
For I think anybody else in this world, we'd be like, oh, it's crazy. And for her, that's just like another day, another week. I mean, she's just an unbelievable young woman, and then again, you meet her parents and you see where she gets her drive and her competitiveness from.
Last couple things, Jared, you play on AstroTurf.
Yep.
Why? And why do you spray the field before and during the game?
I mow it too. I don't know if you see me out there. It's like the Brady Bunch.
None of it makes sense.
No.
So
the AstroTurf, it's different than the field turf because it's smoother and faster. So the ball, the speed of play is significant. You want that ball to be as smooth, so you don't have to worry about stopping the ball as much or injuries. And then they water it for similar things. So if the field's watered, it settles the turf in the ball a little bit quicker. It also has a lot of injury prevention methods behind it too. So
amazing.
Yeah. So
we all picture, the 1990s Buckeyes at the shoe.
The field hockey team used to play there back in the day.
It's amazing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The right kind of surface for the sports. It's what you guys like.
Yeah.
Last thing, Jared, I have asked every coach this at the end of the podcast. What is the best thing about being a Buckeye?
Oh, one thing. This might be, I might have to think. I'll tell you the things that are sticking out. The people around here are the best in the world. Like, I have traveled, I have seen so many things. I've been to a bunch of different universities, different levels of hockey, playing, coaching. There's something really special about the people around this place. I mean, I'm lucky in the Shoemaker. I mean, this hallway, you know, I get to go see Mays right before he's sending his team to a college cup. I'm like, good luck. I mean, I'm happy his team's successful, but I'm happy for him. I mean, he's just such a good guy, you know. And then I come in and Lori Walker, who's been here for 30 years, is like, oh, Jared, you know, you have a question, you let me know, however I can help. I think there's just something that's the Midwest, Ohio State world, they want to help you. You know, we're all Buckeyes. We're all united. Yeah, yeah. We all want to beat Michigan, but we all just want to succeed.
You get to share such a great office space, too. Yeah. You get to see people from different sports close by.
Yep. So that's something that definitely sticks out. I think there's something really special about the pride that you see around the school. I mean, even when I talk to recruits, you walk around campus, student or student athlete, everyone's wearing OSU gear. I mean, they just love this school. Anywhere in the world you go, people know it because it has such a great brand that's been earned. You know, I mean, obviously it's a big name, but whether it's for the university, for the football team, for the athletics, for the swimmers that are going to the Olympics, for the Wexner Center, for the research. I mean, you could go in so many different ways. People know Ohio State, and then you trickle that into like the city of Columbus. I mean, it's just, there's like a way of life around here that goes with the scarlet and gray, that it's you always joke, once you drink the Kool-Aid, it's not too bad. So it's not a bad place to be around.
And it's the red Kool-Aid.
Scarlet Kool-Aid, of course.
Wonderful. That's a great answer. It's really, really cool. And I know now from talking to you a little bit more that a national championship is in the future. In order.
It's coming.
For this program, no doubt about it. Jared Martin, the head coach of the field hockey program, nice enough to have us in his office for this edition of the podcast. Jared, thank you so much. Best of luck to you in the future.
Yeah, thanks.
And we can't thank Coach Martin enough for his time. Once again, you guys have been listening to the 360 with Ohio State Athletics podcast presented by Kroger, the podcast where we aim to talk to every single head coach in Ohio State Athletics. Keep tabs on Jared Martin and the field hockey team at OhioStateBuckeyes.com and check back for more podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Timmy Hall.